Monty Alexander on piano, teaming up with Delfeo Marsalis, one of the Marsalis brothers and dad, of course, on trombone with a wonderful tune. It's Bob Marley's No More Trouble. It's from the album Concrete Jungle, the music of Bob Marley, that was put out in 2006. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead, and as we speak, things have exploded in Venezuela. Opposition leader Juan Guaido, who had installed himself as the, quote, legitimate president of Venezuela, seeking to unseat Nicolas Maduro, who had been elected, has taken to the streets with some nominal support of military personnel and had vowed that today would be the day of reckoning when he actually takes over the government of Venezuela. But that doesn't seem to be working out. The heavy and generous outpouring of military supporters did not materialize, or has not materialized according to his expectation and what he had forecast would happen today. Today was to be the day that Venezuela begins its new life under the U.S.-supported Juan Guaido. That is not happening so far. So we will see whether there is going to be further development here in terms of getting Guaido his support that he says he has, that he says he will use to remove Maduro from office and his entire regime and begin a whole new era for Venezuela. Now, we have to remember that it's one thing when you have internal dissent, and there will always be internal problems. There'll always be that. But this is almost unprecedented for somebody to just pop up and say, I am the new leader of the country, and to start presenting his credentials, the credentials being the foreign nations that allegedly were in his camp and supporting him in all kinds of ways, materially, militarily, and so forth, and giving him a boost, which he felt confirmed, at least in the eyes of the international community, or by many in the international community, that he was on the right track, that they would be so impressed with his leadership, and in any event, they would like him more than they like Maduro. And the United States was a leading supporter of this insanity that has been going on. We have, on the other hand, Maduro getting support from China, from Russia, from Cuba, from many other countries, and it was a mess, as you know. We've talked about it. So today, Guaido took to the streets, absolutely sure that the backing, the military backing that he said he had, will manifest. It hasn't so far. So we'll see throughout the day what happens, because now it will go to another stage where the question would be, what will the Maduro government do Now that there is, excuse me, now that there is no question as to the intention of Maduro, no question as to the intention of the United States to back someone who so blatantly disregarded the democratic process in Venezuela, we'll see what comes after this. There will no doubt be repercussions. We just don't know what they will be. So tune in to whatever news source that you can and see what they say during the course of the day. But this is a major development in and of itself. The issue is that it may lead to even further developments that nobody wants to see. Nobody wants Venezuela to be a point of conflagration where world powers now face off with each other over the actions of a renegade, a 37-year-old renegade. We really have to watch that. Okay, so another thing I want to bring to your attention is that on the 26th of May, Sunday, May the 26th, I'm going to be in New York giving a talk. And it is actually the second time, it's in a way the first anniversary or the anniversary of the same thing I did last year and invited listeners and friends of listeners and the whole community. And we had a splendid turnout, and it was just incredible. The vibes were just incredible, and it blew me away. I really did not expect it, but it was just the best feeling of all time. This is going to be at the Community Church, which is at 40 East 35th Street in Manhattan. That's between Park Avenue and Madison Avenue. And it will start with at 1 o'clock in the afternoon with registration. And don't be afraid of the word registration. We just want to know who came, who showed up starting at 12:30. It is free of charge. There's no cost to attending the talk, in fact. That's what I like about it. Just show up and let's get serious about building community and seeing each other and shaking each other's hand and developing a rapport one-on-one. So no cost at all. It is free and open to the public. It is at the Community Church at 40 East 35th Street. That is between Park and Madison Avenue. The lecture starts at 1 o'clock, but we have registration at 12:30, so we'll be fine. And I'm so looking forward to this. If it's like anything like last year's, everybody left feeling really good. Really good. I also want to make an announcement with regard to PRN. PRN, between now and the 5th of May, will be moving. So I will not be live on air as of the 1st until the 5th. Well, of course, I'm not on Saturdays and Sundays and weekends and so forth. So we have a couple of days when you will hear repeat programs. This is to help the folks doing the yeoman task of moving the station, physically moving the station, but they're up to it. They know these things, how to rehook up wires and chase down connections and getting furniture in place and all of that. That's what they will be doing between May 1st, starting tomorrow, to May 5th. So don't be surprised if you hear me and you say, I thought I heard this program before. Yes, you might have heard it before, but it is just to make the move easier for the technical people who literally, work the boards and work all the technical stuff to get the program on the air. So this is really the heart of the move to get the technical piece okay and up and running. So by the time we reconnect on Monday, the move would have been done. All right, so remember that on the 26th, Sunday the 26th of May, I'm coming up to the community church. I hope to see you and several friends there. Bring some people along with you and let's share some good quality time together. It starts at 1 o'clock at the community church, 40 East 35th Street. And registration, there's no charge, there's no fee. Registration starts at 12:30. And let's look forward to renewing our special bond with each other on that day. Okay. So I wanted to talk about some troubling signs. And we've touched on the subject, but it looks like nobody's listening. It looks like the Democratic Party just isn't listening at all. You would think that the party might have learned a thing or two about political campaigns by now, but that seems to be an overstatement. Not even the mother of showdowns this time around with Donald Trump and his shameless Republican toadies seems to be inspiring bold new moves or a sense of urgency by the Democrats, who should know by now that their chips, no matter what they say, their chips are running low. Imagine you have a whopper of an election in 2020, and it is so important. This is an important election. Although I don't normally get excited about elections, I recognize and I believe that this election is going to be very, very important. This is a very important election. And yet, there's this kind of lackadaisical attitude that they've got it, banking on growing resentment or hatred of Donald Trump and his administration. But that's not how politics works. What is evident is that the Democratic Party is not in the community. It's not working the community. It doesn't seem that they have a need to connect with the community up close and personal. It seems as if they're operating on the idea they'll pay attention to those communities where they think, the Democratic Party has a, quote, higher, unquote, profile. Communities that require attention. The other communities, well, they'll come along as they always, always do. You don't have to get too excited and go to black neighborhoods and Latino neighborhoods and poor neighborhoods. They'll come along. But they're not expecting very much help from these communities. So they don't put a premium on making contact here in these neighborhoods and these constituencies. It's setting up to be a fatal mistake. They've made this mistake many, many, many times. They don't see these neighborhoods and communities as vital to a victory, as part of the machinery, really, of the Democratic Party. These are go-along communities as far as they're concerned. Whatever white Democrats are doing, they'll do it. They'll go along with it. But the Democratic Party so far has no energy in these communities at all. And the Democratic Party isn't the only one. We talked about Progressive Party and other third parties having little or no ongoing presence in these communities. It's a long-standing form of contempt. And the question is, are these communities going to allow it? There's no reason that any community, given our political reality at this moment, should be begging and pleading for attention and involvement by the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party should recognize they owe it. This is, in fact, their life's blood, really. They depend on these communities to deliver block votes. But they don't pay attention to them. And I think this is the time these communities should play hard ball and don't feel guilty about it. You can't tell me that the political reality we are experiencing and we've just come out of hasn't struck the party that it is vitally important to pay attention to these communities. And so these communities owe it to themselves to make the point and to tell the Democratic Party, go to hell. We would even risk giving the wrong message to Donald Trump that he's okay with us. But we are not going to repeat this sad and sorry dance with the Democratic Party. We should cut it out. Really come down on them and really hold them to a standard that we expect. You can't tell me decade after decade after decade, it's the same routine. You're paying attention to the real people. You're paying attention to their real concerns. You're spending money on advertising to reach them. You're coming into their communities to shake hands and familiarize yourselves with the unique problems of every specific community and how, as candidates and as a party, you can do something to fix it. There's no, unless I'm hallucinating, they're not coming into our communities. So they're indicating they do not expect much, or whatever it is that they expect, they're going to get it because you have no choice. Really, we should be on the neck of the Democratic Party this time around. We're not going to go for that okey-doke. The party has been atrocious as a party. Neglectful, contemptuous of these communities. In nothing that is considered a major issue does the party reach out to these communities and ask, What do you think? What do you want? What can we do? How should we go about it? They have no interest in that. And I say, in as much as we have to take on Donald Trump, we first must take on the Democratic Party. We don't need this occurring in yet another election year. We're sick of it. And the funny thing is that it's not like the community is demanding a lot. There's special issues, of course. But the community, all these years, for all that it does, for the gift of votes, copious numbers of votes to tide the party over, gets very little back for what they give. We must make it a point this election year. We're not playing games. You stay away, we'll stay away. You think we're not valuable? Well, we happen to think we are valuable, but we're not going to beg you to value us. We're not going to kiss your butt to be recognized. And the same goes for progressive parties, supposedly progressive parties. You're nowhere to be seen. You're nowhere to be found. This should be the time of intense activity in these communities, intense involvement, intense visibility. Because this is what is going to help change the political equation across the board. Don't tell me of, these stereotypical problems that you come up with about sentencing reform and so forth. Yeah, we get that. But why is it that you do not see, as a party, any of you do not see the day-to-day struggles of people in these communities? Right now, for example, as I've been talking about, Harlem is now systematically being emptied, as is most of the, as are most of these communities all over the country. Redlining has gone amok. Housing is a major issue. You know that. Employment is a major issue. You know that. But we see no presence, little to no presence of the parties working on a consistent basis in these communities addressing these problems. So this is the year, and I'm urging you to do it. It might hurt you. You might feel a little bit uncomfortable about it, but they have to be taught a lesson. This is the year to end this self-hate that these communities or the people living in them are not worth fighting for. We have to teach the political structure a lesson. You have to teach them how to respect you and how to behave. The Democratic Party has been misbehaving for decades. And we go along because we think we have no choice. I think we should this year, and we should start very soon, to indicate to people who are running for office that the party's performance has been shameful over the last few decades, and you've decided you're not going to continue that anymore. I was such a loyalist to the Democratic Party. I voted in every election. If you looked in the dictionary at that time and you're looking for the definition of the term party loyalist, you'll see my picture right there. And then one day, completely unsuspecting, completely unplanned, this was a vote that we had to have. And this was in the time of the voting booth. I get into the voting booth to the extreme right column. I was asked as a voter to vote for judges. Well, who the heck are these people? I don't know any of them. What is their history as a judge? What kind of judges are you asking us to vote for? You didn't care. You just said pick one. And in picking one, I would have been a good voter. That's right. I followed orders. I picked one. Based on what? Do I know their history? Do I know their qualifications? Do I know their performance on the bench? Do I know anything about them? Nothing about them. Just go and just pick one. But the real problem I had that day was the center column, which was at eye level. They're not crazy. They put it at eye level so you can see what it is they're trying to get you to do. And it was for a bond, a multi-billion dollar bond. And it was described, now we're talking this much money, this bond was not discussed openly. We didn't hear about meetings scheduled to explain this bond issue. But vote yes or no. After you've read all about it right here in four lines of copy. That's the disgrace of the party. Four lines of copy is all you need. You have such a simple mind, you probably wouldn't understand this complicated transaction. But we need to document that we have asked the public to vote on it. So vote on it, yes or no. I tell you, I went into such a rage in that voting booth. I said, this is it. I will not go through this today or any other day. I'm done. And it's funny, at that time you had these levers to open and close the curtains. That sounded just like that trap, when the hangman is about to do his business. So I pulled the lever and it sounded like I just executed myself. And since that day, I have not voted on general principle. The party is contemptuous. It is very casual about depriving me of proper representation or any representation. It has reduced the stature, I should say, of voters. We're just lemmings. We don't have to be educated about what they're doing. We don't have to know the backstories. We don't have to appreciate the complexity of anything because we can't deal with complexities. We are just yes or no people. And I say, okay. Take this. I say no. I'm not part of your circus, and I won't be. You will come to my community. You will deal with the issues pertinent in my community. Other than that, I have no use for you. And that's the work we have to start doing, because they're going down the same road of courting those people who they think are desirable voters. And you never see an overabundance or a fair representation of people of color as desirable voters when it comes to the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the Progressive Party, and other parties. They don't care about you. They're racist, and they think that way. And I say, okay, well, I ended it more than 10 years ago. I stopped it. I found it to be abusive and objectionable and undemocratic and all the other adjectives you could think of. And I did away with it. I'm not interested in your voting until you recognize your obligation to me as a voter, not my obligation to you as a party. See, that's the way I think. And if enough people did the same, send them letters and notes. Why do you presume that it is my job to now come to your rescue by casting my lot with you? I'm not going to do it. And until you understand that you have been committing this crime for decades, you will not get my vote. I'm not interested in voting for you. Now, in some elections, if there is a candidate that impresses me as the kind of candidate that I would like to see, yes, I will singularly select that particular race. But as a party, you can just go to hell. I'm not interested in you and your party. Am I wrong? We take this break and then you can tell me off right after it. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the need to teach the Democratic Party and any other party a lesson about respect as voters. And they ought to understand that we're serious. This is not a joke. It is not a threat. It is just what we're going to do. Because when you think about it, it is the same kind of contempt that we get all the time from all sectors. This is not unique to the Democratic Party, but because so many of our community is allied with the Democratic Party, we have to get serious and teach them a lesson, teach them how they are to behave with us, and how they are to respect our communities. Maat from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings. Trying to catch up on sleep. I had missed the details on your accident, but I'm so pleased to hear that you're recovering well, and stay strong, and make sure you take your good tonics. I mostly agree with you. I'm lately thinking about, my goodness, okay, you finally got this Republican Mueller report, but the two prime articles of impeachment, if we could get the Dems off their butts, would be all these hate crimes in terms of, there's a way to put it in as an impeachment article, the reckless rhetoric in October. He kept saying he was a nationalist, and since he's known as a white guy, he's actually talking directly to these people. And the other article of impeachment is lack of credibility. He's hit 10,000 plus lies at this point. So it went from, what, 6 or 8 per day to now 23 per day or thereabouts. So I agree with you. It's like, I heard some commentary yesterday that was interesting, where they were talking about, it was a sister and a white guy. They were talking about the Dems being always subject to polling and to, you know, putting their finger in the wind as opposed to and pandering as opposed to leading, you know, like when you're leading, you pull together those impeachment articles because that guy is very dangerous and seemingly mentally incapacitated, and you let the Republicans, then you splay them out and let them show who they really are and put the cover on their coffin.
At this point, I hate to say it this way, but I'm not concerned about the Democrats and the Republicans. I'm not concerned about it. And I'm not concerned about it because, in any event, they have excluded me and people like me from debate and discussion about where the country goes next.
I agree with you. We have a system that is virtually collapsing. It's toxic. I heard some sense with Robert Young Pelton, who goes all around the world and observes wars and studies intelligence, and he was saying this is a toxic system. You know, there's got to be a better model.
It's a toxic system, and the reason they say it's toxic, what they mean is it is toxic to white people. It is okay that it will be toxic to people of color because, well, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. And we've been looking all these decades for enlightened leadership that would say, or would reason to itself, that if we change our tactics, we could do a heck of a lot better. But they would rather lose than change their racist ways. And I'm saying we're seeing the same pattern already developed and already being put in place for 2020. It's the same mechanisms that we have faced
with Joe Biden, huh? And that cheesy smile. As a suggestion to get to what you're talking about, I suggest you bring back, I think the first name is Jeffrey Perry, and
yes.
Have him discuss Theodore Allen's book, The Invention of the Right Ways, because I think you have your hand on the pulse of what it is. I mean, we're the progenitors, you know, of this whole humanity, because the whole race idea is socially constructed. So bringing Perry back on, I think, could be enlightening.
Well, you know, Jeff is, I have been recently in touch with him. He's trying to finish up his work, and he has been doing incredible work. But he's also facing a health challenge, and hopefully, you know, he could find some time. But it's unbelievable what happens to many of us where only a few of us are doing the kind of work we're doing. And at some point, like as in the case of Jeff and me and others, you reach a point where you just can't do everything like you used to. You just have to slow down and do what your body allows you to do.
Yeah,
thanks, Matt, for getting us started today. Thank you. Lisa from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. How are you?
Hi. Hey, thanks.
Very nice to talk to you. Well, I did not hear most of your talk, but I came out of the shower, and I heard you speaking about your history of voting and the Democratic Party, and I just wanted to say, no, you are not wrong. We should vote for people because they give us a reason to vote. And I did call your show maybe about a month and a half ago to say that I think that as black people, we should boycott the Democratic Party, so to send them a message that they're not representing us. And so I agree with you fully.
Okay, well, thank you.
I
think we need to send a message that we are not playing. We take our votes very seriously.
That's right. I mean, we can't vote for a party just because it's the Democratic Party and they're not doing anything for us. I'm particularly upset about the Venezuela situation and all the times that the Democrats seem to be for these interventions, and hearing a lot of our representatives just saying things that aren't true about Maduro, and a lot of intelligent people believe this.
That's what's called propaganda.
Yes, and you know, if I could just say one more thing, because a few times I have called a little bit too late, and I've just, you know, sat on the line and not been able to get in. And there was a show that comes on Friday mornings on PRN. It's called The Whistleblower Newsroom.
Yes.
And I believe it was the March 4th show where they talked about Julian Assange. This was before he was arrested, and about the Swedish connection and what really happened there. And I just thought that would shed a lot of light as to what has been happening with him.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thanks so much, and I'm glad you're feeling
today.
Well.
Good to hear from you. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good morning, Utrice. I want to comment on a couple of things here. First of all, I want to make it crystal clear that... I'm on the committee that's making it possible to have the event on the 26th of May. And I want to let everybody know that the church is not charging anyone to use this facility. And this is not a profit-making event or fundraiser. And any expense that we have is just the expense of being able to provide the transportation to bring you up and honorarium and various things. And it's no profit for the people who are volunteering at the registration and down on the lower floor where we have assembly hall and we have food and whatnot. All those people are volunteers, including me. And any thing in terms of donations that people give, I'm not saying fees because we're not charging any fees, but we appreciate the donations because they will go to pay the expenses of being able to have events like that. There's no fee, but donations are pretty appreciated. And last year, people came up with donations and we were able to pay the expenses. So, you know, we're looking forward to this, and it's going to be a wonderful day. And I'm letting everybody know that no one is making any profit of anything that happens on that day. Also, on the second item, and, you know, it's going to be at 40 East 35th Street between Park and Madison, and we're going to start that registration at 12:30. As I listen to you in your intro there, it makes me think of a couple of things. First of all, the Nixon policy of moving the Dixocrats, who are Democrats, from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, the Southern strategy. That's interesting. And we need to keep that in mind. And then the next thing that comes to my mind is that these two groups, this Republican group and Democrat group, both of them have no intention of serving the needs of the people of the country, no matter what their phenotype or race is. They serve the interests of the ruling class, period. So we have to get that through our head. The mass of people of color, especially black people, are corralled into this so-called Democratic Party because they have nowhere else to go. So the idea that we're going to somehow change this party around is ridiculous. There's no way you're going to change the mission of the Democrat or Republican Party to do the things that are good for the people that live in this country. So let's forget about that. So my answer is in harmony with yours. I don't have anything to do with either of those two parties. And if we do anything, it would be to have some other parties with all the people of goodwill and the masses of people live in the country start some other type of party,
or vote extremely selectively, and that should be agreed upon. There are people within the party structure who are trying very earnestly to represent people. But they're not in the majority in either party. So has to be a recognition that we reject the party, but for a matter of practical application, to say to this congressperson or that city council member or the other state senator that we see you making a sincere effort, and your race will concern us, your contest will concern us, and we'll support you, but we're not supporting the party.
Yes, there may be individuals, but, supporting a party that's run by the ruling class, I don't see it for the mass of people here. They have no interest in you, and they're just doing a good job of playing you to maintain the power within that group of two, Republican and Democrat.
Thank you. I agree. And that brings us to the end of our program today. This is something we really have to think carefully about. You're not applying the measure to everybody in the party. Like I said, we have the ability to distinguish the people who have a history of being good public servants and community-minded people, and you stick with them. You could reward them. But I would not at this point say that I'm comfortable enough with the Democratic Party as a party. In the middle of all of this drama, we do not see this party revving up outreach to what it considers to be its assets. It's not coming into these neighborhoods. It's not doing the work of outreach. It's not doing the work of recruitment. It's not doing anything to impress a would-be voter, that this is a party that is thinking about things, thinking about the future, and making an investment. The first place you start is with the assets that you have. We have been purely exploited so that the, quote, Democratic Party as a party, unquote, could win. I'm done with that. And we should set that aside. We should consider that completely irrelevant to our political needs right now. And if the party can't understand that it needs to change and it needs to do something different to respond directly to the needs and the various needs of its membership, then it's of absolutely no use. You know, you should have no problem separating yourself from it or separating it from you. If one way or the other, it's got to go. We'll see each other tomorrow. I've been told I misspoke when I said that they're moving tomorrow, but it's not tomorrow, but they're moving. And so we'll be back with each other regular and live tomorrow. I'm grateful for that. We'll connect again tomorrow. Bye-bye.